Bob Cowell Jr. has been on the job now as Roanoke City Manager for about 7 months, and that's given him some time to assess city government functions and spend time in the community. In February, Cowell offered this assessment to City Council.
We have a lot of strategies, and I genuinely believe that all of the details are buried somewhere in all that we do. We just haven't necessarily brought it always together and said clearly this is what we're about and what we're doing.
Bob Cowell Jr. is back for a second time live at our studio. He joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Marano and me this morning. Bob, it's nice to see you again. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we'll get right to it here, Bob. You were the deputy city manager in Amarillo, Texas, before coming here to succeed Chris Morrow. So, Bob, let's start out by asking you, what's the biggest adjustment you've had to make in going from deputy to the top rung?
Sure. Obviously, when you move from deputy, deputy is a lot more focused on kind of the details and getting things done. And the city manager is a lot more about the politics and sort of managing the relationship with council and getting out more in the community. And so that's been obviously the focus of what's been going on in the last 8 months or so.
You strike me as a detail type of person, though. Is that kind of your ilk?
Only by requirement. So, I actually like doing the big picture kind of strategic thinking a lot more than I do the detail work. So that's why it's a beauty to have Brian Townsend and Sherman Stovall on my staff, because they are definitely detail guys. Yeah. And they make it happen.
I want to ask you, before we get into some issues, you went to the RBC Tech Night last night where they announced the second group of cohorts for the ramp facility in downtown Roanoke. Talk about that. It seemed like quite a mix, Bob, and just talk about what you're really hoping to see that ramp accelerator do.
Yeah, it's a great program, and it was a great event last night. A lot of people there as well, and you're correct. The incoming cohort's an interesting blend of folks with different experience in businesses and those types of things. And obviously the advantage that it offers is these are businesses that are already in place. They're not folks thinking about an idea. They're folks that have a proven business idea and business concept. And what this is intended to help them accelerate their success. And so, the advantage, I think, of the program is to connect people to capital. It's to connect them to mentors and really help them kind of take that next sort of leap in their progression. And obviously, for us, the hope is that generates more employment activities and economic growth.
And I know one of the things when they set up the Virginia Tech Carilion Research Institute that there would be spinoffs from that. It seems like it's been sort of slow in developing. They are going to double the size of the research institute. Are you hoping to see that momentum pick up?
Yeah, absolutely. And really kind of at both scales. And the last cohort had a couple of researchers who were actually on their own kind of trying to find some entrepreneurial opportunities to grow their businesses. But combined with that, you hope, of course, to have some larger things come out of it as well. And so hopefully from both sides of that perspective, you'll see that. And I think that definitely is a focus of the Institute, and I would expect that to continue to be the case.
We're talking with Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell. Let's talk about a few of the issues. You probably never thought you'd hear that soundbite again from February. One of the things you brought up was, and this was a subject of the campaign, the city council campaign, and you brought this up, that not all residents, Bob, in the city are benefiting from the growth. It's been a longstanding problem in Roanoke. You get out of downtown, you go in certain directions, you can see that. How do we fix it? Was this something you had to address in Amarillo?
Yeah, in Amarillo, very similar in the sense that as the area grows, the economy grows. We had a couple areas in our city that were really struggling. I think the economy is stronger here. We were growing more in population there than we are here, but the economy is stronger here. So I think the opportunity is greater here to make those connections. And, that's what I'm interested in, is trying to figure out why is it that those pockets have not been able to gain access to some of those opportunities. And then really with as much detail as we can kind of focus in on addressing those. Sometimes that could be transportation. Sometimes it could be just the skill set that they've had access to. Other times it may be something associated with infrastructure, whatever it is. The other piece of that is we're not going to be the ones doing this alone. Obviously, a lot of it's going to be done through partnership, just as all the other activities in the city are.
Partnerships with whom?
Partnerships with a lot of different people. I mean, both private and public. We have a lot of social service and nonprofit groups that are already working in these neighborhoods, and so certainly partnering with them. But other groups that some of which will be pretty customary, Workforce Development Board, Goodwill, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But perhaps some new partners that we might not have worked with more recently in those areas. And I suspect there'll be some new partnerships formed that we've not worked with before or not had before.
How much of it, something you brought up at when you did your assessment was the stagnant tax revenues. Mm-hmm. How much of this is, to get over that, is population growth?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it seems like for the past 20 years, people leave, they come in, but basically the population really has not changed.
Yeah, the best thing that we can do here for us to advance really all of anyone's agendas in the community is income growth and population growth. You know, the folks that are here need to be making more money and have more opportunity. The folks that come in as well, likewise, and then bringing more people. And the reason for that is obviously with greater income growth and with more population growth, we'll see more economic activity. And that economic activity for us in the government will result in additional revenues, which allow us to advance our services and infrastructure.
Let me ask one more question before we talk about buses is, you know, some of these areas where they need jobs and transportation is an issue. Are there enterprise zones there? Are there any incentives for a manufacturer to put a company in Southeast or Northwest?
Yeah, there's a few different tools, one of which is actually a brand new one that's coming out of the federal tax changes in the tax law, which are referred to as kind of these opportunity zones. And we're not sure yet because the Department of Treasury is still writing the rules associated with those. But in some way, they'll work in a tax credit kind of scenario where investors make investments in those areas, in those communities, and they in turn will get tax credits. Very similar to how the historic tax credit program works. We think, but we're not sure. And I think that will create an opportunity to bring outside dollars being invested into those areas, which is always challenging in those particular kinds of scenarios.
Any idea when that's going to wrap up or when they're going to put the pen to the paper?
We proposed the zones to the governor. The governor actually has proposed those zones to the Department of Treasury. And I think within the next few months, they're supposed to actually have all of those rules settled out, and then we'll know exactly what the program entails.
All right, we're talking to Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell, Jr. Let's drill down a little bit on the Valley Metro bus issue. The calls for extended hours. I know that the incoming Vice Mayor Joe Cobb is going to make that an issue, and Juna Osborne wrote on Facebook this morning, it's her number one priority. Roanoke Times did a big article on a woman who goes from here to Blacksburg, and it's like an all-day ordeal. What's what's the feasibility of that, Bob? What does it involve? Would it involve more money from the city, grants to extend bus hours to midnight or 24 hours? I mean, what's the fee? And there'll be a report out next month
The
Valley Metro Board. But talk about that. How feasible is that?
Sure. I think the expansion of the hours and the extension of the routes are always feasible. It really does come down to money. For the most part, the dollars that we receive from the Federal Transit Authority are fixed. I mean, it's a set amount of money we get every year, and those dollars don't generally increase unless something dramatic happens at the federal level. So it really is about how much local money you're going to provide, because it's not about the fare box. It generates very little money. So it's really about locally, what are you going to put into it? And again, as with anything, it's once council settles on their priorities, if they want to increase that priority, it means either coming up with additional local revenue, and that is in the form of taxes or something else, or it means changing from one program that we already fund and putting more money toward the transit. But certainly, technically, it's fairly straightforward in how you do it. The other piece of that puzzle, I think, is, as was exhibited in the article in the Roanoke Times, this is not a city of Roanoke issue. This is a regional issue. And so there has to be regional discussions and regional partnerships. And that includes regional dollars coming into this discussion as well.
If an Eldor manufacturing in Botetourt or Deschutes, if they build, or somebody out in the Center for Technology or something, if they have problem getting steady flow of employees, are there bus systems that get contributions from private employers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually ran a similar system in Amarillo, where we had a large food processing facility distant from the city that relied on a workforce that needed transportation. And they ran what amounted to very similar to what the Smart Bus does between Virginia Tech and here. They ran what amounted to an extension of the system that they paid for, that they underwrote. So absolutely, there are those types of opportunities that exist for private partnerships as well, through either our bus system or from other types of arrangements that they can work through.
So do you think if the new city council is seated and this report comes out next month that this is something that maybe will be more of a focus for you in city council?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we work at the purview of what the council considers their priorities. One of my first steps will be with the incoming council is to help them formulate what are those priorities. And so I would expect in July, August kind of timeframe, we'll spend some time doing that. And then once they settle on priorities, then we can come back and start coming back with ideas about how we can start enacting on those. You know, one of the challenges is going to be we're obviously coming off of just approving we're getting ready to approve our budget. And so in a lot of ways, we'll be setting the stage for what will occur with the 2019-20 budget. And less so what we're trying to do with the current, because those priorities have been set. But certainly we'll be having those discussions.
One other question about buses before I throw it back to Joey. We're talking with Bob Cowell, Roanoke City Manager. I see a lot of these buses with very few people on them, Bob. If you went to a smaller bus, would that make much of a difference on the bottom line, or would the turning over the fleet just make that a really long payback period?
It's really complicated, because the way the federal funding comes down is those buses have to remain in service for a very long time, and the larger buses actually hold up better. They last longer. There are also some things that are advantages to those on the mechanical side as well in terms of repairs. That's one of the realities of transit, is often people look at buses and say, well, there's not many people in them. What they need to understand is the folks that are in them are the folks that really need that service, and there's not much cost advantage of those on those kinds of routes. Now, there is sometimes on the call for service kinds of things in the paratransit.
Like radar, things like that.
Yeah, those often can run with obviously smaller buses, because they provide a slightly different service. But on our mainline runs, those buses are really the most efficient way to do it.
It is 8:53 at WFIR. Delighted to have in studio this morning Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell. And Bob, let's go back again to what Gene referenced there, the soundbite we played from that February City Council meeting about the strategies you uncovered as you settled in, and perhaps about better ways to communicate that to the public. Now, Bob, is that something that you and your staff are currently working on? And is it about getting residents more engaged and supportive?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, one of the first things we did is we presented, I think now, it's been about three meetings ago to council, a communications and engagement plan. And we do a great job of communicating and engaging in the city. I really do believe that, and that's always been the case. It just has not been very coordinated, or certainly very strategic. Mm-hmm. And so that plan kind of laid out what the expectations are that the council and the community can have, that regardless of what department is doing, whatever activity it might be, they know what to expect and how they're going to be engaged or communicated with in that regard. And probably one of the first examples of that is next week, Colonial will be undergoing its 18-month kind of redevelopment. And there was a three-page engagement and communication effort that went into play that was the first one of those that we put out. And I think you'll be seeing a lot more of that as you go forward. Parks and Recreation Master Plan is another example of how we've ramped up kind of that engagement. And certainly it's one of my focus that we'll keep doing more of.
Speaking of communication, I noticed you started the blog. Another way to relate to citizens. I think your latest one was on the Norwich neighborhood.
Right.
Do you like doing that? Are you getting feedback? And are you a natural writer?
Yeah, I do like doing it, and I like doing it, I admit, because I'm old. So I don't like the 140 or 240 limits that I had on Twitter. I'm still using the Twitter account and pushing that out for information. But the blog allows me to have a little bit more of a conversation with the community. It has been interesting to try to figure out, is anyone reading it? But here recently, I've had a number of people come up and say, hey, I read this, and they're starting to get a little bit more comment on it and stuff. So I enjoy it. I'm trying to make sure that we do it every week as we go out. And it gives me a chance to kind of touch on something that I just don't have any other means to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So,
what's your, you've been on the job now about 7 months or so. When you came in, has anything changed for you, Bob, as far as what your focus is, or now the things are coming more into focus? What's your assessment at this point?
Yeah, no, I think things are kind of, if anything, solidifying what it was that I saw when I came in, which is we got an outstanding city government. The employees are really, really dedicated and very capable. I mean, as I said to the council a couple months ago, that has allowed me to focus on the big picture, not have to worry about, is the trash getting picked up on time or those kinds of things. That has become a lot clearer as we've worked our way through. I think probably if anything is evolving, it's again continuing to understand where those opportunities for partnership exist, and in particular looking for avenues in our neighborhoods where maybe we haven't fully exploited those partnerships. And that seems to be kind of becoming clearer as we move in. And of course, now with an election, we'll revisit those priorities and see if anything dramatic needs to change, or we just kind of keep on the path with a few tweaks as we go forward.
Because the mix will change on city council,
absolutely,
maybe some of their direction.
Absolutely, yeah. And the challenge of this always is taking a couple of new members and incorporating them into this body, and then finding out what is, I can pretty well tell you what Councilmember Cobb's, feeling is in terms of what he'd like to have us focus on. Now the challenge is, how do you incorporate that into what the whole group would like to do, so that now you've got kind of this new direction for the group? And that's for me, frankly, that's kind of the fun part. I mean, it's fun to get those new sort of ideas brought in, and how do you blend those with the old ideas and come out with a new direction?
All right, Roanoke City Manager Bob Cowell Jr., we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for coming back.
Sure, thank you. I appreciate it.